Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, but we'll read all the way up until then so we can get the full context of 2 Timothy. I will tell you that we're going into Acts after this. We probably won't read 30 chapters of Acts, or we may not get to the... So we'll have to figure out at what point. I do like reading scripture in context. We'll have to figure out how to best do that in a larger text like that. But starting with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, follow along with me if you have a Bible or just listen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God, and I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, mercy, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy and recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced lives in you. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, a teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me, and in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that all those in the province of Asia have deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtained mercy from him on that day. You know very well how much he ministered at Ephesus. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to the ruin of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Avoid irreverent and empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they are ruining the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription, "The Lord knows who are his." And let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. Now, in a large household, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But reject foolishness and ignorant disputes, because you know that they breed quarrels. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient. We're going to actually come back to this verse 24. That was the one I was looking for Tuesday, guys. Instructing, now so I'm going to start from the beginning again. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. But know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. For among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sin and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all, as was the foolishness of Jannes and Jambres. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith. Now, I'm going to stop right here just for a second. I want to, 4:1-5 is actually going to be in this section. It's all kind of one section together. So I'm not going to stop and say, hey, this is the part we're focusing on. I'm just going to tell you now, because all this kind of goes together. But you have followed my teaching, starting in verse 10 of chapter 3, but you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came with me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know that those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So this is what Paul is writing to Timothy. What I want to remind you is if this book or if this letter is one of the last things we get from Paul, it is as far as we know, like, this is like the end, right? This is it for Paul. This is his last words. And if this is it, like this is the end of the end, right? Like this, so this is Paul's really wanting to put forth like some encouragement to Timothy. I mean, in fact, if you read like outside of the first chapter, 2 Timothy 4, Like 2, 3, and 4 all deal with preaching the word and resisting false teachers. I mean, it's like he just keeps repeating himself in different ways over and over and over again. But as a reminder, like this is Paul's last letter, and this is the end of that letter. And here's what he's saying. So I'm going to read 1 through 5 again. I solemnly charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of the appearing of his kingdom. So Paul's saying, because there's this ticking clock, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. There's another translation that says, be ready regardless of whether you feel like it or not. And what are we to be ready for? Rebuke, correct, encourage, with great patience and teaching, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And he just drills this into Timothy. Continue to preach the word. Now, for Timothy, first century Jewish boy who believes that the law has been fulfilled in Jesus and that Christ was the Messiah. What was the word that Paul's talking about? Well, it's multiple things. It's not just one. Like we'll read this isolated in a 2022 box and say, well, obviously he means the Bible, what we have. And that's not inaccurate. It's partly accurate. You got to remember, Timothy, they only have the Old Testament. And even all that wasn't put together like it is now. I mean, they really had the first five books, pieces of prophets and wisdom literature, but they were kind of put together in different ways and not necessarily, there wasn't necessarily a council that had yet come together and said, these are all the canon of the Old Testament and this is what it's going to be. They had David's writings and the Psalms, and they had these things. We see them being quoted. They had the prophets. We see those being quoted. But it wasn't like just bound together, you know, in a book. And it's like, this is it, right? So they had this, the Old Testament wasn't necessarily collected all together, but they had all of it. And then they had what? Their knowledge of what Jesus had come and done. So when Paul is talking to Timothy and said, preach the word, he's not just saying, preach this, but he's like, preach what Jesus has done in your life and what you've heard about Jesus and what you know about Jesus. And sometimes, especially if we get bogged down in a place where, you know, things get a little too literal and we can't, and the scripture's not like, you know, scripture we should read in context of what's going on. I mean, the hearers heard it in context of what was going on. And when we get into situations where it's like, man, this is like literal and I have to believe every word, well, we talk about this on Tuesday night a lot, but nobody believes the Bible literally. But people who say they do really get mad until you start bringing up places and they're like, well, that's, you have to read that in context. Like, oh, everybody has these things, these parts of the scripture where it's like, I can read this in context because it's obviously, I mean, Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, you'll follow me. Well, if you read that literally, it's telling you one thing. And then a person's like, well, you have to read that in what context of what he meant. Okay, I agree. I don't disagree. But the point of this is not to put question about Scripture. It is to put the supremacy of God and the Holy Spirit that he has given us, which Paul talks about, Timothy, we have to have the Holy Spirit to guide us in that wisdom. So one reason I encourage you as we read through Scripture to write down or highlight places in wisdom where God revealed it to you, because we have to have the Holy Spirit kind of revealing it to us. If we read the Bible 100% literally, we run into problems in chapter 3 of Genesis. Who did Cain marry? And so we have to understand and realize how it was written, but without lowering the Scripture, because the Scripture is up here. And Paul's telling Timothy that. He's like, Scripture is up here, but you got to have the Holy Spirit kind of revealing this to you. He tells the church in Philippians, you work this thing out with fear and trembling. How easy would it have been for Paul to say, this is what you believe, this is what you do, because this is what God has told me. because this is what's true for me. Like, I've been called to be an evangelist, so now you all have to be called to be evangelists. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, you have to work out your faith with fear and trembling. God's given you the tools. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you his word. He's revealed things even specially to you. God still reveals things to us individually. And all that can be taken together to raise life up, not to bring it down, to raise scripture up, not to bring it down. I only bring these things up to say, hey, people who aren't inside the Christian circles, they will see this. They have problems with this stuff, and they do bring it up. I had that conversation this week, as I mentioned, and it was some of that. And I was like, oh, how do you not believe? I mean, you believe in all this other stuff. How do you not believe? And so we had this conversation, and he just kind of honestly shared with me some of his frustrations. I was like, I get it. But that's why we need, because every ancient text has issues. But we have the Holy Spirit to help enlighten us and give us wisdom, provide for us. And this is what Paul's encouraging Timothy. You don't have an instruction manual and you do A, B, C, D in this order, in this way, and you get this result. This isn't a science equation. This is the living, breathing, as he said last week at the end of, like I said, it was all one section at the end of chapter 3 last week we read. This is the inspired, this is the in-breathed, this is the God-breathed word that is living. It's not dead. It's not a formula. You plug this in, you get this result. But it doesn't return void. It does what it set out to accomplish. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, preach this word. Preach the Old Testament. You don't have the New Testament bound in any kind of thing yet. You got some letters from me. You've got some other things kind of written down. Probably Mark was written down at this point. Preach that, and then preach what God has done for you, and then what you've heard, and all these kind of other things, because it all comes together. And now we're blessed, 2,000 years later, we have had this thing bound. We have had people who got together and prayed about it and have developed a canon of Scripture. And so we have a lot more than Timothy had. The only reason I bring that up is to say we don't need to be scared of the stories that God has done in our life. That is part of preaching God's word. I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago about some things that God has done in mine and Natalie's life. And I tell people that. I love telling that story. I love telling the story of two boys that don't share the same color of skin, that both have a similar heritage, both born premature, both their twins died in pregnancy, and yet here they are, brothers. You couldn't separate them. I love telling the story of how God worked that out. How else does that happen except for the working of God? That's not here, but it's here, and God has done stuff like that in each of your lives, and God did that stuff to Timothy, and he's encouraging him. Preach that too, because that just puts into place some of the outworking of these words that we read in the scripture. I read this story this week about a guy who was struggling with his faith. And the reason he was struggling with his faith, this was in the early 1920s. And the reason he struggled with his faith is because what had just happened, World War I. It just happened. And at that point, it was a global catastrophe, one that we had never quite seen before. Now, we've had some happen since then that one-upped it there. But he was struggling with faith because of the horrors he saw and all the calamity. And we found that his rationalistic upbringing in the Lutheran church did not quite meet what he wanted, but he opened up the scriptures. And he came to the Beatitudes, and he discovered what some of us know. When we read the Bible, in a lot of ways, the Bible kind of reads us, right? It's as wonderful as scripture reading may be, its reading is not an end in itself. It's given to us to heighten our awareness of ourselves and in relationship to God. And so you can pick up scripture and find beauty in that when you see ugliness outside. Or you can find that, pick up scripture and find peace when there's chaos. And we can pick up scripture and find comfort when everything around us seems to be breaking down. And all that can be found in God's word. You can study the minor prophets and actually get something from it. Because the word of God is living and breathing. What does it say in scripture? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is powerful. And it's powerful in your life. A guy named A.J. Jacobs realized that he actually realized that in reading scripture, he couldn't interpret scripture alone. So every day he met with others to discuss its meaning. It drew him in the community in a way, in a new way of thinking for others. For the first time, he considered the possibility that there is one who created us. A.J. Jacobs was an agnostic guy. He was not looking. He was looking for wisdom, not Christ. And he soon felt a deep connection to the whole human family. It seemed to be out of season, but it is the word the world needs. And by the end, Jacob referred to himself as a reverend agnostic. He hadn't quite converted, but God's Holy Spirit was moving him along the path. And he wrote this. He said, studying the Bible is not like studying sumo wrestling in Japan. I don't know why he chose that one, but whatever. It's more like wrestling itself. This opponent of mine is sometimes beautiful, sometimes cruel, sometimes ancient, sometimes crazily relevant. I can't get a handle on it. I'm outmatched. God's word does not return unto God void. This reverent agnostic, as he revealed himself, had scripture memorized and realized it was true. Now, how, you may be asking the same question I do, how does somebody get to that point and not actually just jump into belief? I don't know. But it shows that God's word is not going to not do what it's promised it will do. That God's word is true, and it's truth. And that's the danger. As Paul was writing this thing to Timothy, what he said, you have these people who are holding on to the form of godliness but denying its power. That is a scary verse to me. Holding on to the form of godliness, but denying its power. And in his wisdom, Paul tells him, avoid these people. So verse 2, he tells Timothy, preach the word. In verse 2, he also says, preach it whether you feel like it or not. Preach it in season, preach it out of season, preach it regardless. There are times when I open up a scripture, or times when I'm standing in front of you guys or we're in a Bible study and you feel like you're just talking to the wall. Like it just doesn't. And there's other times you come in and it's like the words just jump off the page and jump out of your mouth and jump out of your heart. And it's like, and Paul says, regardless of which way that goes or whether you're feeling like it or not or any of that, preach the word because of what we just acknowledged, that it's going to accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. It is going. I've had times in here and other places where I presented the gospel and I got off the platform or walked away from the lectern or whatever it was and felt like, man, that was the worst. I need to repent because that was horrible. And I've had people come to me and say, that was amazing. God spoke to me through that. Because who knows what God's doing and what someone needs to hear? I don't. So we just preach the word of God and open it up. So he encourages Timothy, this pastor says, look, sometimes you're not going to feel like it. Sometimes it's going to feel out of season. Preach it anyway. And use it. In verse 2, he tells Timothy how to utilize the word for correction. And we talked about this a little bit, so we're not going to go into it a ton, but for correction, for rebuke, for encouragement. But then he says this thing, and this is why I said we're going to go back to 2:24 in a second, but he says, with great patience. With great patience. Oftentimes, I'm not patient. It's like the lingering is like a thorn in my side. I feel it sometimes with my kids. I'm like, man, I just need to be more patient with these guys. Or with my wife or my family. So Paul's encouraging Timothy sometimes with the church members. You feel like you're losing patience, right? And Paul's encouraging Timothy, you have to do this, but do it with great patience. Because they're not going to get it the first time. In fact, there's a warning about what they're actually wanting to do next. We'll get into real briefly. But he says, do it with great patience. A couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with Heather. and with Angie, and Angie was telling us a story about a female or about a student in her school that was identifying differently than the gender, and I can't remember which way it went, to be quite honest with you. And she was sharing her story. It had nothing to do with the gender issue, but through that conversation, it sparked another conversation, and you can kind of use your imagination on how it went. But the bottom line was, we were talking. I said, you know, the church has got a couple of different ways we can go with this, right? We can completely embrace it and say this is okay and affirm it, which contradicts Scripture. Or we can completely reject it, say that person's gross, it skeeves me out, I don't really like it. And guess what? That person is never coming back. He's never walking through the doors of your church. Or we can take this and hold it in the balance of, we just have to teach truth. But teach the truth. What did we say this morning in that scripture? Teach, yeah, in love, right. Teach it. We're not going to like say something's not true, but there's a way to say that lovingly where someone feels affirmed, where someone feels the love of Christ. And there's another way to. There's people who are just going to reject things regardless of what you say and how you say it, just because they have a preconceived notion about it. We talked about that at great length Tuesday. But the encouragement from Paul was, you, Timothy, as you teach this word of truth, you do it with great patience. And I want to flip back to verse, he's just like basically the second time he says it, because in verse 24, he's talking about, he's telling Timothy, flee from youthful passions and these desires. These false teachers are going to be there. And he said, the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient. That was our call, not to argue, not to retweet the pithy little, you know, statement that's gonna, yeah, right. Right, you guys know what I'm talking about. So Paul's encouragement to Timothy, you have to teach this, but be patient. Because they're not going to get it the first time. And then he says, guess what? Here's actually what they're going to do. There's going to be a time coming. They're not even going to want to listen to you. In fact, they're going to go find somebody who tells them what they want to hear. So the way he says it in verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. So they're not going to tolerate this as truth. But according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. And as a result, verse 4, they will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. And let me tell you that it's happening. And it's manifesting itself in different ways. Some people want to hear that the Christian life is going to be all hunky-dory and everything's going to be great and they're going to love it. And you're going to live your best life from here on out. This is going to be it. It's all smiles and puppies and rainbows. And if that's not what you teach, Timothy, I'm warning you, they're going to go and find someone else to tell them what they want to hear. Don't fall into the temptation of doing that. Because guess what happens when you tell people what they want to hear? Does a crowd shrink or does it grow? It grows. It grows large. And this may have been this may have been encouragement to Timothy. He said, hey, if it stays small and you see the thing growing, don't be tempted to go and tell them what they want to hear. Because your call is to faithfulness. And so you got to teach the word. In season, now season, where you feel like it or not. Because then they're just going to hear what they're hearing and they're going to turn aside to miss. And it's going to derail them. And I've had conversations with people this week where that is true. Where they have just went and found what they wanted to hear. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who doesn't believe any longer. And when I met him, he was in his early 20s and he wasn't a believer. He came to this faith and he exhibited fruit and it seemed to be real. And I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know what God will do in his future. And I pray that he will find it to be true. But he doesn't believe. But he's a hard rock fan. And he has been. He was born in the early 70s, and so when I met him, that was kind of our attraction. Was we played music together, and we liked heavier stuff. And he was a believer, but he likes this, right? And so we were talking. So this conversation came up because there was a podcast he was listening to about all this kind of history of heavy metal and hard rock music. And the first couple episodes were about Satanism and that. And so if you remember the 80s, there was a the satanic panic, right? Where everything with the devil was everything, and if you played your records backwards, you heard the devil and all this stuff. And so, and it was kind of mocked and kind of made fun of in some circles. In other circles, it was very much taken seriously. And my buddy would be one of those who would have mocked it now. At the time, I don't know how he would have been because he was kind of in that transition stage. But nonetheless, we were talking, and there was this podcast, there was some of these bands that, you know, kind of admitted, like, we were just doing it because it was dramatic and the imagery and whatever. We, you know, it drew a crowd, basically. There were others who really tried to get into it and try to do. And so they would read these books on how to do this, you know, whatever it is they do. I don't really know. I don't want to find out, to be quite honest with you. But in doing that, they had really supernatural experiences on the negative side, right? Like there would be, and it was really freaky. So as I'm talking to this friend of mine, he's like, oh yeah, that's not something you mess with, man. That is real. And I'm sitting there thinking, if this is real and you believe that the demonic is real, there has, like, you know, and he just could not make that connection because he has found what he wants to believe and he's getting it fed to him. And we can do that very, very, very easily. And Paul's warning Timothy, these people are going to turn aside and they're going to find someone to tell them exactly what they want to hear. You don't have to worry about that. You don't worry about that, believer. You don't worry about that, Christian. You don't worry about if the church or the group or whoever is down the road is growing at exponential speed. If they're teaching, they may be doing it because God is blessing it. It could be because they're telling people what they want them to hear. Don't be tempted to not. If they're doing it because God's blessing it, fantastic, right? But if they're doing it just because they're preaching a false gospel that's appealing to people's ears, don't fall into temptation to do that. And why do you do that? Paul in verse 5 says this to Timothy. But as for you, you exercise self-control. Find the gumption within you not to be tempted to turn aside to these things because it draws a crowd. Exercise self-control in everything. Endure the hardships. It's not going to be easy, Timothy. Endure these hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Paul obviously knew Timothy very well, and he knew the calling on his life. And Paul's encouraging him, do the work of an evangelist. He ends it by saying, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, you know what you've been called to do. You know what God's put in your heart. Fulfill your ministry. Regardless of whether it looks successful in everybody else's eyes or not, your job is faithfulness. Your job is being true to the word of God and what he's called you to do. So fulfill your ministry. I started out by saying this. I'm going to finish with saying this. Paul seem to, and we see it through this text of Timothy, but really if you go back and read kind of the story of Paul in the Acts and then read his letters, you get this sense that Paul lived his life with his ticking clock in the back of his head. He knew that there was a time where Christ was coming and his ministry on earth was going to end. And Paul does not seem to be the type of guy who is complacent to just sit back and let it ride, right? And he's encouraging Timothy, don't sit back. It's like the professor who says, hey, 10 minutes left in the exam. And some people put down their pencils and like, well, it's only 10 minutes left. What can I do now? I've done all I can do. Sit back and we'll just see what happens. Simone, does that happen sometimes? Do you give them a warning? They just turn it in. Yeah. Sometimes the person looks down. They start writing faster. Like time is ticking. I got to get this thing done. I got to do my best. I got to do it. And Paul's encouraging Timothy, you be that person. The clock is ticking. You do the work of an evangelist that you've been called to do. Maybe you guys have not been called to do that. Maybe I haven't been called to do that. You know where God's placed in your life, but fulfill your ministry. This clock is ticking. It's running down. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And time is ending, so we got to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Timothy, be faithful to what God has called you to do. This is my last letter to you. I'm done after this. Maybe he didn't know that at the time. But he probably had a sense. Timothy, fulfill your ministry. So our encouragement this week, fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. God, thank you that your word is true. That your word brings life to our life. That even when The world around us seems to be clamoring for something different. God, you call us to stay true to what your word has called us to. God, the temptation is real. Sometimes to change the message or maybe even harden the message, and you called us to be gentle and to be patient. Maybe we don't want to be as gentle and patient. Maybe we want to, because we understand that time is ticking, but God, help us to live with, like Paul did, with this ticking clock in his brain, knowing that ministry was coming to an end on earth, but wanting to be true and effective to what you had called him to do and be faithful to what you had called him to do. May we live with that same sense of urgency to know what you've called us to, who you've called us to, and how you've called us to do it, and be faithful to that. God, if we don't know the answer to those questions, we pray that as we spend time in prayer seeking that your Holy Spirit would reveal it to us. God, thank you that Genesis through Revelation speak truth to us. May we not soften that truth just to draw a crowd, but may we lean into it knowing that it is the inspired words that you have given us that is truth. God, we cannot live by sustenance that we find here on earth, but through every word that you've given us. And may we remain faithful to that and do the ministry you've called us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.